we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. We got a lot to cover, lots of things happening just ahead of Thanksgiving. Hope you got great plans for this weekend with your family, and I hope that you are as thankful for the freedom that we are enjoying as I am, and I hope that you are thankful that God's given us a reprieve and that you're going to step into that saying thank you for that with your actions. I love the quote by Abraham Lincoln in his very short Gettysburg Address, 3 minutes. I got prepositional phrases that are 3 minutes. This guy was able to pack in one of the greatest speeches in history in just 3 minutes. It takes me that long just to get revved up. Anyway, he says in that famous speech how important it is to honor those who make sacrifice, and he tells us how to honor them. He says we need to have an increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. So if you're thankful this week, and if you're starting to make your list, you know, we used to say when I was a kid, count your blessings, count them one by one. If you're going to do that, and then you're going to honor those who made those blessings possible, if you're going to honor those who God used and who gave their lives, sometimes part of their lives, you know, their youthful years serving in our military, some of them giving all of their lives, literally gave all so that we could be free. If you're going to honor that, then the way to honor that is by getting engaged, by being even more involved in the very system that they were fighting to preserve. So I'm thankful this week for freedom. I am thankful that we still have a voice, that free speech is still alive in this country. We were close to losing it. You realize how close we were? We were at the precipice of a totalitarian state. Not like what we typically read about in history of totalitarian states. It was a very different kind of tyranny. It was almost a soft tyranny, as Mark Levin called it even 15 years ago in one of his books. It was a soft tyranny that you didn't feel coming if you weren't really paying attention. It was just kind of that boiling frog thing, little by little by little by little. But it was tyranny nonetheless. It was getting to the point where government was controlling the narrative. At which point, if that door had slammed all the way shut, it would have been virtually impossible to come back from that without having to go into a kinetic, physical war, which we would, of course, not want to have happen here on our soil. We were so close to losing our freedom of speech, so close to losing our ability to choose the outcome for our family, whether that was healthcare or education or where, you know, all of those things. And I am still pinching myself at how big the victory was on election night and how fast the Trump administration is moving to restore these freedoms, to restore freedom of speech and freedom of the press and our ability to petition our government for a redress of grievances and to assemble. And they're basically disassembling, basically tearing apart the strongholds that the left had built at the federal level. And they're doing it so fast. I mean, he hasn't even taken office yet, and people are already running scared and already giving up ground that I thought we were going to have to scratch and claw to take back. And it's just remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. So I am very thankful this week, and I just want to stress to you, our listeners here on At the Core, that the way that you express gratitude is having an increased devotion to the cause. And so look for ways this Thanksgiving to challenge your family, to educate them, to maybe even share them with them a little bit of history. Maybe this Thanksgiving, instead of just eating and visiting, you know, take 20 minutes. Read a couple of those Thanksgiving proclamations you can find at wallbuilders.com. Read what previous generations were thankful for, and you'll find some, you know, major similarities in the things that they were thanking God for in the freedom that we enjoy in this country with what we need to be thanking God for today, because I truly do believe we are entering an inflection point in America's history that we're going to look back on, our children and grandchildren are going to look back on and say, that was when freedom was revived. There was a revival of liberty in our country. There was a revival of the gospel, a revival of actually making disciples. And we'll see that in the behavior of the American people if it's a true revival. So the real measurement's not going to come for another decade or two, but the real work is happening right now, and the ground is being gained. I'm just super, super excited. So I hope you are as well. Hope you're thinking about that as we go into Thanksgiving week, and that this Thursday you spend some time with your family talking about those things. All right, let's hit some of the headlines. Looks like tariffs is a big subject this week already. Donald Trump, of course, has been talking about this all throughout the election. So it's no surprise. This is not a shock to anybody that he's gonna do this. Nothing actually done yet, but already Mexico's pushing back, saying, "Oh, we're gonna respond with our own tariffs, and it's just gonna turn into a tariff war." Yada yada yada. Whine, whine, whine. Squeal, squeal, squeal. Let them squeal. You know, it's like one of my mentors, Dr. Charles Jarvis, used to say. Great speaker, by the way. He was the most. I mean, probably the greatest after dinner speaker of you know, my parents' generation. He was just incredible. Love that man. Actually spoke at his funeral years ago, and so many of my jokes and stories I stole from him. Not really. He gave them to me, and he even coached me on how to use them. So anyway, Dr. Jarvis, was always one to say, all right, look, all these people that say, well, I got to vote this way, or, you know, my granddaddy would turn over in his grave. His response was always, let him twirl. So that's kind of how I feel about the response of these other nations crying and whining over potential tariffs that Donald Trump is threatening. He's vowing a 25% tariff for Canada and Mexico, and then of course huge levies on China. So let me just start at the 30,000 feet view today on this one with regard to tariffs. Okay, I have debates with my oldest son on this all the time because he's an economics major, was an economics major, got his economics degree at 17, by the way. So for those of you out there that think you got to go spend, you know, $250,000 and 5 years of your life to get an undergraduate degree. You don't. He did that while in high school and finished his degree at 17 years old and knows way more about economics than most people that are actually in government. Anyway, all that to say, my son is very against tariffs. He thinks that they, you know, it's just going to make it more difficult, cause things to be more expensive, yada, yada, yada. I've always been a fan of tariffs. I think the founding fathers thought that was the best way to fund the federal government and also gave, you know, advantages to American producers. Here's my thing on tariffs. I think you use them as a weapon when you can. And what I mean by that, I think we should have huge tariffs on foreign oil. I think that's an example of a product that we should absolutely favor American producers and absolutely punish producers through the tariff that are from other countries that, you know, for years we knew that the money we were spending on foreign oil was ending up in the hands of terrorists, that it was getting funneled from these countries into the hands of terrorists, and then they were using that to either fight Israel or fight us around the world. And so to me, that one just makes sense. I understand the arguments against it. It's just a policy decision. It's a gamble. It is going to, you know, cause the price of oil to go up. And it is, in fact, going to make gas more expensive. But it's part of, fighting the war against radical Islamic terrorism. It's part of making sure that we have incentives here in America to drill, baby, drill. But you have to couple that. And I think Trump gets this. And we're already seeing it in some of the policies. You have to couple such a thing with making it easier here in the U.S. to produce whatever that product is that you're putting the tariffs on for the other nations. So, you know, clearly Trump has made it obviously clear that he plans to drill, baby, drill. I mean, the people that he's appointed in these positions, the way he joked around about RFK, you know, making sure he keeps him away from the liquid gold and keep him over in the healthcare area, which I think is wise. And frankly, I think that's where RFK really wants to be anyway. I'm actually in favor of using tariffs. I don't know about these, you know, this idea of kind of across the board tariffs. But listen, Trump's brilliant at negotiating and staking out and really playing chess with these kind of things. And very often I think we will find, as we saw some in his first administration, he will use threats like this or rhetoric like this, and maybe even implement some of these tariffs in order to get concessions in totally different areas. And so he's playing that game. I think a lot of this is being put out there for that very reason. And he's also just putting Mexico on notice that, you know, business as usual is over. We will use whatever means we have to stop a lot of what's been going on. And so there's another area of this nobody's talking about that I hope he is going to follow through on. You might recall in his first term, he talked about declaring the cartels as terrorist organizations and actually going after them in with the tools that he would have if they were labeled terrorist organizations. I've said for a long time, I think the cartels, the Mexican cartels, that should be practice for our special forces. In other words, that should be training for the Navy SEALs and everybody else. Like, let them go in and wipe these guys out and essentially practice on them. I mean, it's ridiculous that we have let these absolute thugs, these evil, evil people, traffic hundreds of thousands of children into our nation, traffic all this, you know, fentanyl and everything else. And not only the kids, they're trafficking people. It's just, it's evil. It's wrong. Why in the world have we let them have operational control of our border? So the Biden administration has done a terrible disservice to the future of our country and to, this is a very important point, and to the people that are being trafficked. In other words, when Donald Trump does what will amount to the you know, greatest deportation effort, it needs to be described. My friend Mark Meckler makes this very clear. I thought it was a great point. It's actually a humanitarian effort. It's not a deportation effort. It's a humanitarian effort. This will, what Donald Trump's going to do, will save lives, not only here in America, by preventing the cartels, or at least limiting the cartels, on the amount of fentanyl that they can get into our country, and the sex trafficking, and the kids, and all of the evil things that they've done. Not only will it prevent deaths of Americans, because you're preventing those cartel and Hamas and all of these other evil people from getting into our country and wreaking havoc in the streets of our nation, not only will it save American lives, it's going to save lives of illegal aliens. It's going to prevent all of those deaths that are happening on the treks to the border, and even once they get into the U.S., that dark underbelly of what's been going on. So this is a humanitarian effort. And so I think the talk about tariffs and everything else that he's throwing out there with Mexico and other nations, it's just part of a bigger strategy to finally get America back to the point of being the superpower and having an America first attitude and America first policy that makes other nations no longer take advantage of us. We've been the punching bag for the last 4 years. And frankly, other than during Trump's 4 years, for the previous, you know, probably 15 years. I mean, honestly, I thought George W. did a great job in the first 4 years. Great job, you know, prosecuting the a lot of the things after 9/11. But terrible job when it came to the economic response to the crash in 2008 and. Just, you know, set it on a silver platter for Barack Obama to come in and create more big government, spend more money on bailouts. And so it's honestly, it's been a pretty bad run for about 20 years with just a respite in those 4 years of Trump. And even then, he did not have the resolve or the perspective that was needed at the time that he does have now. And so for the first time in 20 years, we've got a chance to put America back on top. And I don't even care about America being on top compared to other nations. What I care about is that we just look out for America, that it truly is an America first policy agenda. And so I think that's way more than rhetoric with Trump. I don't think it's just going to be America first rhetoric. I think it's going to be America first policy. And you see that with the appointments or the nominations that he's making already. Yes, I'm going to get to the one that is terrible. This Surgeon General nominee is awful. That one's got to be reversed. I don't know if maybe it was reversed. I mean, there's so much outcry out there right now. This lady's awful. She's a pro-mask, pro-jab, you know, totalitarian medical industrial complex shill. And so that one's got to be reversed. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll also get to your phone calls when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. It's 888-589-8840, and you don't even have to be on topic. We'll talk about anything and everything. So call in with your comments, questions, or insults. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
Oh. Does the changing of the seasons have you thinking about the future? If you're feeling like you can't contribute as you have in the past, maybe we can offer some help. There are many ways to make an end-of-the-year charitable gift. A cash donation comes with the advantage of a tax deduction. Transferring appreciated stock can allow you to avoid capital gains taxes. You could leave a gift through a will or trust by naming AFA as a beneficiary. And a charitable gift annuity provides a deduction for today as well as guaranteed income for life. Let us show you how to maximize your year-end giving for yourself and for AFA. Visit AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. If the economy has you worried about what the future may bring, giving through the AFA Foundation could help. Again, that's AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Jumping into some of these appointments, I forgot to hit some of these. There's some really good ones in here. Scott Turner is a good friend. I didn't serve with him in the legislature. He came in after me, but really enjoy the guy. I mean, we've had done a lot of events together, and I think he will be phenomenal. He's been appointed to Housing and Urban Development as the secretary over at HUD there. Now, I'm going to mention several of these appointments, but each of these agencies, or most of these agencies I'm about to mention, shouldn't exist. Okay, so I'm glad Scott's, got the nomination over here, but Housing and Urban Development, show me that in the Constitution. It's absurd. It needs to be completely annihilated, gone, should not exist. All right, then there's same thing for Department of Agriculture. There is no reason to have a United States Department of Agriculture. We have state Department of Agriculture. That is a state issue. The federal government should have zero to do with that. Absolutely zero. So I'm glad that Brooke Rollins has been appointed there. She's fantastic. She ran the Texas Public Policy Foundation for years and then was in the first Trump administration. She's brilliant. She would be great anywhere that he decided to nominate her. I just hope that she goes in and guts the Department of Agriculture completely, and it should be nothing but an empty building when they're done. That's what should happen over there. Okay, Russ Vaught, this is a fantastic, fantastic appointment. Office of Budget and Management, not new for him. This is what he did in the first administration. Russ is absolutely brilliant. This guy's a savant-type brilliant and true conservative, constitutional understanding. I think he is a must in the new Trump administration, and he basically will be the what's the right way to say this? I guess the axe for what Musk and Ramaswamy come up with. So, Elon Musk and Ramaswamy with their Doge thing. That's not an official. Doesn't have the actual power of the administration or whatever. It's essentially an advisory role. But whatever they come up with, whatever they recommend, it'll be Russ that actually implements that in the Office of Management and Budget Director. So I am thrilled that he put Russ back in there. This is a critical piece to it. Unfortunately, I mean, as is typical of Trump, I mean, sometimes he says things that you're like, okay, why is he saying that? And a lot of times he's staking out ground. Excuse me. He's actually, again, playing chess. But remember last summer, I think it was summer, he was lambasting Project 2025, which is actually a fantastic plan. It's a proposal of all kinds of things to right the ship in America. Heritage Foundation, often at the forefront of that sort of thing. And Russ was a big part of that. And so, Trump distanced himself from it, during the campaign. But here we go. He's putting the right people in office to actually implement many of those things. Okay, Attorney General, we lost Matt Gaetz. I mentioned it on the program that, I don't know if he'll get approved. Everybody's saying he wouldn't, but that I loved the shot across the bow. I just loved how it put the left in a tizzy. And, sorry, I had to get a drink there. And it flushed out who our anti-MAGA agenda people are. We kind of knew, that some of these Republican senators were going to be a problem, but they made it very clear. And we, we ranted about that a week ago, so we won't go down that road again. Pam Bondi, though, is the new Attorney General nominee. She will probably fly through the Senate, no problem. She'll be a great member of the administration. She's not 100% pick, okay? She's not good on some things like red flag laws she's supportive of. She's I'm afraid, got a tendency to maybe use that prosecutorial power beyond what I would recommend or think is constitutional. But she's a 95% pick, right? So she's good on a lot of things and will be I think, be a good attorney general. I just hope she goes in with the wrecking ball that Matt Gaetz would have gone in with at the Department of Justice. She's not as scary a pick to the left as he was, but I think she can she kind of put some lipstick on it. Yes, I'm going to get some hate mail from the ladies out there. She's basically a much prettier face than Matt Gaetz, but yet has the backbone that he has. And if we can just keep her away from any anti-Second Amendment policies, then that will turn out to be a good appointment. Sean Duffy for Secretary of Transportation, I think this is another good one. You know, he was a good congressman, has been a great voice. He and Rachel have been, I think, a really good example of how a husband and wife team can influence the culture, raise a great family, and, you know, do things God's way, but also at the same time be influencing the culture, you know, not just the kids you're raising in your home, but out there in social media and on, you know, she does Fox and Sean being a congressman. I just think it's fun to watch them, and I think this will be a fun addition to the administration. Now, and I was trying to figure out how to say this. Department of Transportation is kind of in the middle on my, you know, constitutional versus not constitutional agencies. The Department of Transportation, I think, is constitutional because of the post offices and post roads. Section of Article 1, Section 8. I think our highway system fits under that. The problem is how much they do. There's a lot of projects that get thrown in under Department of Transportation that should not be federal projects and should be left to the states. And so we'll see if the Trump administration, through Sean, will dial that stuff back and get back to just the bare bones of what the feds should be involved in, which should only be, in my opinion, on the Department of Transportation, should only be dealing with travel across state lines. So that would include, you know, making sure the highway system is good, but not building every bridge in every state and not funneling money to all these local projects and not doing the bridge to nowhere and those types of things. That's where we've just completely gotten out of hand, and we're going to see if there's much of an appetite for dialing those things back. Okay, let's see. I talked about Vaught, talked about Rollins. Seemed like I was missing somebody in there. Okay, yeah, I did mention the Surgeon General in the last segment. You know, listen, this is, hey, you got to expect the guy to miss one, right? I mean, there's been so many good nominations. I'm talking like stellar, off the charts nominations, that there's going to be a few that just don't ring the bell. Well, the Surgeon General does just ring the bell, man. It takes the air out of the room. She is awful. The videos I've seen of her advocating for masks, advocating for the jab. I mean, I'm talking years into the scamdemic. And so that one's got to go. I think there's enough pushback out there. I think Trump will listen. I think he listens to people. And I think, you know, the grassroots speaking out. And if your social media didn't blow up over the weekend over that one, then you're just not following the right people. Mine was, it just exploded. So I'm hoping that one turns around. We'll see what happens. All right, your thoughts on any of those appointments or any of these headlines we're going to talk about, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. One other item that Donald Trump has made very clear with regard to the humanitarian deportation effort. Notice what I did there. I'm going to start saying it that way from now on. You've got a bunch of these cities, you know, the main voice everybody's been talking about is this mayor of Denver, you know, saying that they're going to, you know, basically bring out a militia to stop. He didn't use the word militia, but what he described would be a militia to stop the federal government from being able to deport these criminals and these thugs. Here's what I think. I think you let these blue cities keep them. Let them have their sanctuary cities. Completely unconstitutional, of course, but let all the thugs move to the blue cities and continue to wreak havoc, continue to take over their apartment complexes, and let the gangs from Venezuela and the cartels from Mexico and everything else, let them run those blue cities until they completely run them into the ground. And if the voters there can't wake up and elect a mayor that actually wants to keep the streets safe instead of cowering to these illegal aliens, then you know what? You made your bed. You can lie in it. I'm at this point where we're not going to save everybody. Let's marshal our resources to the states and the cities and the communities that are willing to work with the federal government to deport these folks. That's what should be the game plan here. Instead of having to, bow up and muscle up to the mayor of Denver, let Denver fall apart if that's what the people of Denver want. They elected this guy. They can unelect him. They can demand that he get in line with what the people have clearly spoken nationally. And if he doesn't, then so be it. I mean, that the people are going to have to live with the pain that they've created. The reason that the left has been able to get away with their horrible policies is that we have bailed them out. So the left takes over these blue cities, and that's really what they own right now. They have a few states like California and Massachusetts. But what happens is when they implement their bad policies, instead of having to live with the consequences so that the corrections take place, when you put in a bad policy, you get bad results, people get sick of it, and they say, we don't want that anymore. They throw you out of office, and they bring in good policies. That's what normally happens. But the reason that hasn't happened to them, the reason California still has a Looney Tune legislature, is because they put in their crazy, insane policies, but instead of having to live with the pain of it, they get bailed out by us. That was one of my biggest complaints with the COVID bailouts, and unfortunately Trump got that wrong in 2020. But when all that money got spent, we bailed out California and New York and Massachusetts and these blue states that had put in bad policies, and we literally helped them balance their books. They were broke, and we used COVID for a transfer of wealth from the communities and the states that had good policies and were doing pretty well financially, took our money and bailed out these states that had bad policy. So as long as we don't do that, I am totally for letting blue cities and blue states live with the pain of their bad policies. Let them make the mistakes. Let them invite all the illegal aliens they want to live in their communities. Let them have all of these cartel operatives and these Venezuelan gangs. And let's clean up the rest of the country, and then they will see what it looks like when you have good policies, and eventually the people of Denver will say to this mayor, get out of town, man. We don't want your policies anymore. And they will do the right thing and put some good people in office. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I just don't think these sanctuary cities are going to be able to pull. It's just not the same. We're not in the same world we were in 10 years ago. When the mayor of New York is admitting, he's basically crying uncle, and saying, we've already spent hundreds of millions of dollars. We've already done all of these things to try to take care of these folks. We can't do it anymore. We're broke. And our people are not being taken care of. When you see these city council meetings where locals that are actually citizens are getting up and saying, enough is enough. And I'm talking red, white, yellow, black, and brown. I'm talking people of every background, every political persuasion, every religion. The ones that lived here before and were citizens before this chaos, they're saying enough is enough. This has got to stop. And so I don't think these mayors, like the guy in Denver, they're going to be able to get away with it. Okay, one other news item. Hopefully I can get this in before we go to break, and then we'll get to the phones when we come back from the break. But it looks like there is a potential peace deal or ceasefire deal between Israel and Hezbollah. So apparently Netanyahu is supportive of this, and he's going to push for it. I don't know if this is something that Donald Trump has been negotiating behind the scenes, or if this is one of those scenarios like when Ronald Reagan came into office in 1981, in January of 81, when he came into office, everybody knew, just like with Trump, they knew there was a new sheriff in town. They knew from the experience with Reagan back when he was running the state of California, and then even before that when he was running the Screen Actors Guild, that he was a serious player and that he wasn't going to put up with it. And so people were, surrendering hostages. Iran did that. They were, basically changing their tune because they knew what was coming. That's what's happening now, I believe. So I don't know who all was in these meetings behind the scenes to make this happen, but looks like it very much could essentially leave Hamas on their own without the support of Hezbollah, which allows Israel to finish the job, if you will. And so we'll see what happens there. That apparently, I guess, is being voted on today, maybe already approved in Israel. So anyway, that's, man, more good news, folks. I'm telling you, this is a week to be thankful. I mean, all week long, we ought to be thanking the Lord for the things that he's doing. I was doing an interview this morning, and we were talking about a show called The War on Truth, and we were talking about the fact that we're basically shifting from playing defense to playing offense. And so I think we should be thankful for the fact that we were able to stop the offensive of the left. In other words, the left has been gaining ground for decades and decades and decades, and I believe what we're seeing happen right now is truly a blockade to that ground gaining that the left had been experiencing for years and years. I mean, they've been victory after victory after victory for them. And I don't mean elections. I'm talking about policies and major shifts in the American culture. I think we're at a place right now where that is being at least blocked. It's not done away with. We literally just, you know, essentially stopped them on fourth down, and now we get the ball. So now we have a chance to play offense. Now we have a chance to take ground back, to move the ball back down the field in the right direction. And the appetite, I mentioned this last week, is different than I've ever seen in my lifetime. And in my 30 years of being engaged in the culture and fighting for these things, I have never seen the appetite of the American people to go on offense like this and press the gas and not let up. Not even take a breath. I mean, even for Thanksgiving this weekend, it's going to be like, okay, you know, let's eat some turkey. Let's talk about how thankful we are for all these things. And then come Friday, we're going to hit the gas again. All right, so Thursday, we're going to celebrate. We're going to express our thanks. But then Friday, we're going to get right back into the fight, not even going to take the whole weekend off. That's what I'm hearing from people. That's certainly what we're doing here in the Green family and around Patriot Academy. There is much to be done. Our cause is just. Our work is not yet done. We have much, much to do, and the door, I mean, is swinging open for us. I was saying last week, the window's cracked. We got to shove it open. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm seeing it shove open. Man, people are fired up, and they're taking action, and you need to do the same thing. If you hadn't signed up to be a Constitution coach, now's a good time. You can spend Thanksgiving weekend reviewing some of the material and inviting your friends and family and get your class started next week. You know, why wait? Why wait till after the first of the year? Get a class started next week. Head into the end of 2024, learning what it means to be a biblical citizen. You can sign up for that at patriotacademy.com. Check it out today. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. What a great opportunity during Thanksgiving to not only thank the Lord for what we have, but dedicate ourselves to having an increased devotion to the cause for which so many sacrifice so that we can enjoy this freedom. So be thinking about this week, this weekend. Be thinking about what you can do in the final month of the year to prepare yourself and to get other people prepared for taking ground back. So as we go on offense, we got to do it wisely. We got to be strategic. Got to use good tactics to actually win the culture back. And our sense of urgency hasn't changed. It hasn't. Not only has it not gone away, it's kind of increased because, frankly, I get fired up knowing that we are taking ground back. That we're not just playing defense. So let me give you a. An opportunity. There's probably not many of you out there that might be able to take advantage of this because you got to be super spontaneous to do this. I'm going to host a special event at the Patriot Academy campus 2 weeks from today. So on December 10th, you have an opportunity to join me at the Fredericksburg campus for Patriot Academy. That's Fredericksburg, Texas, not Virginia, for those of you on the East Coast. But you're only 50 minutes from the San Antonio airport, so you can book your flight into San Antonio that morning of the 10th or the night before. But starting at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on December 10th, we're going to begin the very first Patriot Experience. Now, what do I mean by the Patriot Experience? That's your chance to experience everything we do at Patriot Academy. We're going to do a Constitution crash course. You're going to get to be a legislator for a few days in our new legislative hall that we just built right there at the Patriot Academy campus, Texas House Chamber replica committee rooms, all that good stuff. You're going to get a public speaking workshop. If you ever wanted to get some training on how to get up in front of a committee and speak, or in front of a Lions Club, or you know, at your church or whatever it might be, we're going to put you through some really good public speaking training. And you are going to get training on how to do it, you know, work a committee. In other words, if you go to your legislative session, or you want to testify in front of some state reps or whatever it might be, how do you work that process? How do you use that 1 minute or 3 minutes or whatever they give you? How do you use that wisely? And how do you build the relationships with those people to be able to hopefully get whatever it is that you're trying to get passed, or kill whatever bill you're trying to kill? How to get that done. So we're going to go through all of that at this Patriot Experience, and it's fun. I'm telling you, you're in the hot seat, man. You get to bring a bill, you get to debate it, you get to lay it out on the House floor if you want. So that first part of the Patriot Experience is essentially everything we've done at Patriot Academy for 20 years in state capitals across the country. And most of that time, that's been for 16 to 25-year-olds. And I'm always having older people tell me, hey, when am I going to get to come? I'm older than 25, but I'd love to do that. Well, now's your chance. So this is all ages, basically 11 and up, because on the House floor and that sort of thing, you need them to be at least 11. And not only do you get to do what we used to call leadership, well, we still call it Leadership Congress when we do it in state capitals, but you're going to get that full experience, the Constitution training, the public speaking workshops, the life purpose planning, all of that. You also, if you decide to stay over, because that's about 3 days of doing that, December 10th, 11th, and 12th, if you stay over, you get to do constitutional defense, which is our handgun defense class, and you can do the 2 day or the 4 day. So what I'm offering you is a 3, 5, or 7 day experience at the Patriot Academy campus, and I'm going to be there the whole time. So I'm going to teach most of these sessions, and I'll be there with you. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm telling you, this is the first one we've done like this. It's going to happen December 10th through the 16th if you do all 7 days, or December 10th through 12th if you only do the core 3 days. You can find out more at patriotacademy.com. You only got 2 weeks, and it's probably going to be full by Friday of this week. So if you want to do this, we just announced it just a few days ago. This is a very spontaneous, last-minute thing, but it's going to fill up, and it'll probably be full by Friday. So you need to get online right now, patriotacademy.com. Decide if it's something you want to do. Just click on the big X there for the experience, Patriot Experience, and you can watch the video. You can see what it's going to be like. And we'll be doing more of these in the future. So I don't, you know, it's not the only time you're going to get a chance to do this. This will become the main program that Patriot Academy offers at the campus. But you'll never have the opportunity again to be part of the first one, the very first Patriot Experience. I mean, it's going to be amazing. So definitely, if that's you, if you're a spontaneous person, or you just happen to have those 3, 5, or 7 days available and you want to come experience these things, you want to start 2025 fully equipped to start a brush fire of liberty in your community. You want to go back home on December 13th if you can only do the 3 days, or 17th if you do the full 7 days. You want to go back home absolutely fired up, equipped, absolutely educated and inspired to make a difference in your community and start that brush fire of liberty. You want to do that? Then you need to join me on December 10th. All right, come on. It's patriotacademy.com. Click on the X. It's called the Patriot Experience, and I'd love to see you there. Now, I know for most of you, you're listening and you're going, Rick, there's no way I could do that. That's 2 weeks from today. I can't even ask to get off work for those days or whatever. But maybe for some of you that are listening, you already have that week off. Or maybe, you know, you're retired. I'm going to have some people there that are 85 years old, so don't let your age scare you off from coming. And then there's going to be some that are, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, which actually makes it kind of cool. I'm really excited about that we're going to have these multiple generations engaging in good citizenship together. Talk about a certain, you know, not just ceremonial, but an actual passing of the torch of freedom. It's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. PatriotAcademy.com. Check it out today. And if you can't come do that, you know, physical training that we're going to do and get that intellectual training in person at the campus, then at least sign up as a Constitution coach and become someone right there in, you know, in your home or your church that's hosting the intellectual part of this, the Constitution classes and what the Bible says about how to be a good citizen, that sort of thing. So patriotacademy.com. All right, I didn't mean to make a complete infomercial of this segment, but I'm just excited about this. I got to tell you, folks, when I say we're taking ground back, when I say we're moving from defense to offense, you can't do that if you don't have the strategies and tactics to win. You cannot go on offense if you don't have the plays. You got to have the playbook. You got to have the strategy to take ground back. The left does. Okay? There's a reason they took over every major institution in America. There is a reason that the left was able to take over education completely, take over the entertainment industry, take over journalism, every government institution in the country. I mean, you just go down the list. Shockingly, even the Fortune 500 boards. I mean, how do you get to the point that companies that benefited from a free enterprise system that actually became successful because of the free enterprise system end up going against the free enterprise system? The left was absolutely successful in taking ground in America. And they were able to do so because they had strategies and tactics that work, because they understood the system and they knew what to do. I hate to say it, folks, but they were better men of Issachar than we were. They understood the times and knew what to do. Now it's our turn. Now we need men and women of Issachar that understand the times and know what to do. So to understand the times, you have to understand the system in which you have been placed. You have to understand how a constitutional republic works. You have to understand how to work the constitutional republic. In other words, how do you work the system? When I say the system works, but we have to work the system, what do I mean? How do you give or refuse consent of the governed? When you go into the Declaration and it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, what does that mean? It means that government can only do what we want it to do, but we have to be willing to stand up and say, I give or I refuse my consent. And there are a lot of ways to do that, whether it's like I was talking about, testifying in committees or showing up at your school board and speaking or running for office and actually taking that seat at the table and being the one to block the bad stuff and propose the good stuff. I have lost count at the number of people that are now in public office. They are serving as public servants for our communities across this country after going through one of our Constitution classes or coming through our Leadership Congress or some of these other programs that you would have the chance to do at the Patriot Experience December 10th or at a future one. I've lost count. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of people that are now in state legislatures. They're in the United States Congress. They're in school boards across the country, city councils. They're judges. I mean, you name it. What about you? What's your role going to be? What are you going to do in 2025 to take ground back right there in your community? What can you do to lead the way at your church? Or maybe even, I'm not kidding when I say this, your HOA. I mean, I'm not talking about just taking over legislatures, folks. We got to take over the homeowners associations. We got to take over the water districts. We got to get good people that know what it means to have a limited government and make sure that government is only doing those things that only government can do and should do and that we gave it permission to do. That means we got to have people elected to our city councils, to our county commissioners, to our school boards, to our water districts, to our HOAs, to our legislatures. I mean, every government entity you can think of. We need biblical citizens in those government agencies or in those government entities. Well, agencies too. We need good bureaucrats, frankly. We need people that are trained in all these things that then go into public service, not in an elected position, but they serve. A lot of these people I talked about in the first segment that are getting appointed and serving. For every person you're seeing that Donald Trump is nominating to serve in some capacity that requires a nomination, there's 1,000 other ones that are moving to D.C. to serve in those agencies and help to right the ship, to help us turn this nation around and restore our republic. So I don't know what your role is. I don't know what God's kind of pricking your heart with right now. What he's telling you that you're qualified to do, and maybe that's one reason for you. If you don't know, if you're kind of listening to me right now and you're going, man, Rick, I want to make a difference. I want to be a part of it, but I don't know what I have to offer. I don't even know what skills I have that would fit in helping to save a nation. I mean, what can I do? One of the things that we will do at Patriot Experience is we'll spend time on what we call living your purpose. I wrote a book on this years ago, and it's not a shallow, live your best life now kind of thing. It's literally, what's your purpose? What's that? There's a scripture about that he'll give us the desires of our heart. What's that desire of your heart that God planted there? What's that seed that he put in you where when you do that thing, you feel his pleasure? the Eric Liddell quote from Chariots of Fire, you know, the guy that was an Olympian that wouldn't run on the Sabbath. And he said, I believe God made me for a purpose. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Well, for me, when I run, I don't feel anybody's pleasure, let alone God's, because I hate running. But when I'm doing Patriot Academy, when I'm out there working with young people and teaching them how blessed they are to be Americans, when I'm training candidates, when I'm working on public policy, when I'm in this arena, when I'm doing this show, I feel God's pleasure. I love doing this. You might be looking for that next thing that you can love and that you can really put your heart into, that you can pour yourself into to help save the nation. It may be that you're going to run a soup kitchen in your community. It may be that you're gonna start some sort of ministry within your church that's gonna reach out to some area in your community where the needs are not being met. It may be that you're gonna be a Constitution coach and you're gonna be the one at your church to educate people on biblical citizenship. It may be that you're gonna run for, I don't know what it is, but I would love for you to come to the Patriot Experience December 10th. And even if for no other reason, when we do that workshop on living your purpose and you ask those questions that we go through, you will find what that next mission is for you. I hear this from military veterans all the time. We do a military veterans leadership congress, and you know, a lot of times when they come home, they've been so filled with purpose when they're out there fighting for our country or serving in the military, and then they come home and they're like, "Man, I don't like what I'm doing, or I don't feel like I'm making as big of a difference, or whatever it might be." And they all, I mean, almost to a person, when they come through our program at the end of it, they go, now I understand what I was fighting for, and now I know what my next mission is going to be. Now I know how I can still have the passion of fighting for my country without having to be in uniform or serve in the military, but actually fight for those principles of the Declaration and the Constitution in my community. So you may be one of those people that's looking for whatever your next mission might be. You may be looking for, you might be 60, 65, 70 years old going, you know, what's my convergence? What's my point? All these years, God's taken me through all these different things in my life. What can I do now to apply what I've learned and use the skills that he's given me over those years to pass the torch of freedom to my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, the next generation? If that's you, friends, I can promise you. I mean, I absolutely promise you. I'm talking money-back guarantee promise you. If you come through the Patriot Experience, you will leave inspired to make a difference, and you will find that next mission. You will find what it is that you can do in your community in 2025 to make a difference for our country, to pass the torch of freedom to your kids and your grandkids. So I hope you'll consider coming to that, whether it's this next one. I know that's, again, 2 weeks' notice. I'm not giving you much notice, but I hope you'll consider taking a Constitution class and beginning to prepare yourself for 2025. I hope this weekend, as you're giving thanks for all of the freedom that we enjoy, for your family, for the ability to even speak freely again, to share the gospel and to make disciples of all nations, the freedom to do those things, let's be grateful for it. And then let's show that gratitude by taking action, by increasing our devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That's the way that I think we can enjoy our Thanksgiving this weekend, but then come out of that Thanksgiving fired up to make a difference, not just in the last part of 2024, but man, I'm thinking all through 2025, all the way to July 4th, 2026, which I'm going to talk a lot about in the last couple of weeks of the year here. Man, we got a big celebration coming, folks, the 250th birthday of the nation, and it's not far away. We're talking a year and what, 8 months, 9 months now we're down to? So we got a lot of work to do to prepare for that. So we got to teach the principles of the Declaration before we can actually celebrate the Declaration on that 250th birthday. And I'm counting on you to help me do that. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.